Welcome to episode number 16 with Ben Nempton. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Yo, 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 what is up, greats? I hope you're having a fantastic day today. It was super sunny today in LA, and all day yesterday I was on the beach playing some beach volleyball, having some good time with my friends. But I'm back on the podcast today, and I'm excited about this one because I've got a good friend of mine. His name is Ben Nempton, and he is one of the stars of the show on MTV called The Buried Life. And if you haven't seen this show, you got to go check it out. See if you can find some episodes online or something. It's very inspiring. What they do is they basically find things that they want to do, put them on a bucket list, and then they go cross them off. It's pretty cool. But they also go help other people check off things on their bucket list. It's a very inspiring show, and I encourage you to check it out. Before I get into Ben and the show and what you're going to learn today, I want to give you a quote for the day. I want to start doing some quotes. I really like quotes. So I'm going to start sharing these hopefully each and every week, each and every episode. The quote for today, I've got this on my wall right now. It is, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken." And that's by Oscar Wilde. And I like that one because sometimes we can forget about the path we're on and the journey we're on. We kind of get sidetracked. Maybe we've got too many shiny objects or too many opportunities coming our way. But really, you got to stay focused and you got to be true to who you are. And do what you feel is right. So be yourself because everyone else is already taken. That's my quote for the day. Hope you like that one. Here's what you're going to learn in this episode with Ben. Now, I've known Ben for a couple of years from an event called Summit Series, actually. We met each other. And I wanted to get him on here because every time we talk and hang out, he's super inspiring. He's always got something that he and his crew, his Buried Life crew, are chasing or going after or are on a journey to achieve and to learn and grow. And I really like that. So in this episode, you're going to learn some great things about how to accomplish your own dreams and how to accomplish your own goals. And he's got a 6-step formula for accomplishing any dream. Now, this formula is pretty cool, and I believe in it myself. So you're going to want to make sure you take notes during this 6-step formula. He's also going to share his journey about how he went from just a young kid from Canada, and he and a few of his friends basically had this idea to create a show, and now they're on MTV and they're doing even more shows now. So they've got some great stories and some great experience he's going to share with you on this episode. I'm excited for you to learn it. Want to go really quickly into the review of the week before we get into my interview with Ben. And this week's review, we got a bunch of awesome reviews. I appreciate you guys leaving your 5-star reviews over on iTunes. But this one was from Jeff Thornton. And Jeff's title said, "A True Howes 2 for Greatness." You like how he used my name, Howes 2? Get it? He said, "This is just another success to add to Lewis's already fantastic portfolio. This podcast delivers high-quality content that stimulates your mind and motivates you to continue to follow your passion. I started this podcast and finished all the episodes in 2 days. Truly amazing lineup and fantastic material." And Jeff goes on for a little bit, but I appreciate you, Jeff, and you are the review of the week. So thanks so much. And with that, guys, I appreciate all your reviews and comments. I'm getting you a lot of listeners sending me Instagram photos of where you're listening to the podcast. Someone was at Newport Beach the other day, posted an Instagram picture saying how inspired they were on the beach listening to this. So thanks again. If you want to post a picture on Instagram and tag me at Lewis Howes of where you are listening to the podcast, I'll give you a quick shout out next time. And with that, guys, let's get into the episode with Ben Nempton.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
What's up, everyone? I am back again with a friend of mine and a special guest. His name is Ben Neptune. What's up, brother? How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. We were just chatting about some of the cool things you're doing right now with your production company and selling some new shows, and I want to get into that in a second. But what you're most known for, I guess, in kind of pop culture is the show you did, which is The Buried Life. And for people that don't know what The Buried Life is, it's a really cool show that was, I guess it had, what did it have, 2 seasons on MTV?
Yeah.
2 seasons on MTV, and it's basically a bucket list with Ben and his 3 of his buddies where they go around and try to cross things off the list, like make a television show. I think you had be on Oprah, play basketball with the president, a lot of other cool things. I think become a number one New York Times bestseller was one, which you've achieved a lot of these different things. And it's an extremely inspiring show. It's actually a show that I wouldn't think would be on MTV, but I think you guys pull it off amazingly. So congrats on that.
Thank you, man.
And what was the, I guess it was back in, was it back in 2006 when you had the idea for the show?
Yeah, in West Philadelphia.
So tell me how it came about.
So we grew up in Victoria, BC, up in Canada. You know, all 4 of us went to similar high schools in the community. So Victoria's pretty small. We kind of all knew each other. So it's Duncan and Johnny who are brothers, and Dave who is Johnny's best friend. So I was going to college it was actually a friend of mine who started a clothing line out of high school, sort of with no experience in fashion, no money from his parents, no connections.
Right.
And took out a loan and started this clothing line. And I was just kind of, it was such a cool line. I was just like, dude, how'd you do this? And he just sort of said, well, you know, I just did it. And I was like gravitating towards people that were doing really cool things. And so I just sort of thought like, fuck, I want to do something like that. You know, I want to make something cool that my friends will respect and that, you know, I could really have a lot of fun doing. And and I saw some videos that Johnny had been posting on Facebook of him and his friends partying at McGill University. And he had made these videos that were just the most sort of inspirational party videos you've ever seen. They were just made you want to go out and get drunk with your friends. So, I called him. I was like, Johnny, let's make a movie this summer. And he was like, I just got back from Cuba with Dave. And we were talking about making something. And serendipitously, Duncan, Johnny's older brother, had come up to me in the bar in Victoria and been like, let's do something. And so we all got on Skype, actually, because it was the only thing that we could afford. And we started having these calls about making a movie. We didn't know what we wanted to make a movie about, but we decided that we wanted to make something. And we kind of kept on coming down these dead ends creatively about what kind of documentary we wanted to make. And finally, we got frustrated and we said, okay, let's just make a list of everything we would want to make a documentary about. Like, what do we want to make a movie about? Let's not think about what we should make it about. Like, if we could make a movie about anything, what would it be?
Right.
And so we all went away our separate ways for a week and made this list of things we would want to make a movie about. And then we came back around this circle, so to speak, and went around and everyone said their things they wanted to make a movie about. And we just liked so many of the things that people listed off. Someone said, well, why don't we just do all of these? And so that's kind of where the list was born. And at that same time, Johnny was at McGill and he was in English class and he got assigned this poem in English, 100 called The Buried Life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this poem by Matthew Arnold written in 1850s. And there's this English poet who was like in his 50s and there's 4 lines in this poem that really spoke to Johnny and kind of resonated with him. And he brought him back to us. And the lines were, but often in the world's most crowded streets, but often in the din of strife, there rises an unspeakable desire after the knowledge of our buried life.
Mm.
And he was like, guys, this is like what we're talking about, this feeling of unrest and this feeling of like we want to do something, but we don't know what it is. You know, it's like we have all these things we want to do, but we get, you know, kind of buried by life. And but you have these moments when you know what it is, and then it just gets buried, and then you have another moment of inspiration, and then it gets buried, and you end up like never doing the things you really want to do. And
right.
So he said, we said, I said, like, okay, well, let's take this name. Like, we don't even know what the movie is or the project, but let's just call it The Buried Life.
Interesting.
And from then, from there, we took sort of the next step, which was we decided that we were going to base it around this question, what do you want to do before you die? And we were going to ask people, you know, as we traveled, what do you want to do before you die? And base the documentary around that, and talk to them about why they had or had not done the things they wanted to do in their life. And by doing that, maybe we could find direction of what we wanted to do with our life.
Mm.
Because we didn't really know. And we also had this idea that we would make our own list, and on the side, we would do our list. But we never thought our list would be in the documentary. We always thought that would be a little too self-serving. Like we would ask people and we would profile them, but we would do our list on the side, and that would be something different. But so we didn't have any money. You know, our parents didn't fund us.
How old are you guys now?
Now I'm 29.
I mean, how many are you at the, how old are you guys at the time? I mean,
22.
Okay.
7 years ago.
Gotcha. No money, you're broke, and you got these ideas.
Yeah, so we're broke. We're like, we want to make a movie. So,
but no one's ever made a movie.
No, I didn't even know how to use a camera. I was studying kinesiology,
right?
Which no one even knows what that is,
right?
And Johnny and Duncan had grown up like making, you know, skateboard movies, snowboard movies. They made like weird wizard movies when they were kids. Like they had played around with cameras and editing, but no one had gone to school for it. So right. Duncan and Johnny sort of went up to the oil rigs and made some money so we could build a website and buy a camera. And then I would just call production companies. No, I would call companies in the phone book pretending to be a production company, get through the CEO, sell them on the movie we were making, sell them on the idea that they should get involved. And like this local juice company ended up giving us enough money to pay for our gas.
Wow.
And like, that was all we needed. We bought an RV. We made four matching T-shirts with The Buried Life on it and this like logo with the shovel, and we took off, and we were like, okay, we're going to go after this list, and you know, we're going to talk with people, we're going to ask them what they want to do before they die, and if we can help them do the thing that they want to do, then that's what we're going to do.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah, so we set out as, you know, just a couple friends basically going on a road trip for 2 weeks to make a documentary. And the first day we did it, we ended up getting on the front page of the newspaper in our local town.
Wow.
And then that sort of ended up getting some media buzz. And then it was provincial news, you know, which is the equivalent of state news. And then it was national news. And then we had all of a sudden, you know, we had our list posted online. This is back in 2007, right? So this is, right. Oh, sorry, this is 2006. YouTube was sort of just getting going.
Right.
You know? I remember we started Twitter in 2007, but we did make a simple website, and we posted our list. And so we noticed our inbox was starting to fill up. Mm. People were starting to email us being like, "Hey, I saw your list online. Like, you want to ride a bull? My uncle has a bull. Like, you can
shut up."
Yeah, or like, you guys want to make a toast to a stranger's wedding? We got invited to 12 weddings in 2 weeks to make toast.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and then people sending us like emails saying, my friend wants to do a duet with Michael Bublé. Like, can you help him? Or I want to fly an F-18 fighter jet. Please help me. And
wow.
You know, sending us their dreams. And what we realized sort of is people were really starting to get inspired by the idea of four guys going after their dreams. You know, their dream list,
right.
Which we didn't really expect, because we thought in the beginning we weren't really going to be us doing our list wasn't really going to be part of it. But they just wanted us to finish. You know, they just wanted us to do the things on our list. And they would. I remember one list item was lead a parade, and we crashed this parade in Penticton, which is like a small town in BC, and we just drove our RV, like made it into a float, and we were going through the parade, and people in the crowd were yelling at us saying, you know, nice one, crossing off number 12.
Like, shut up.
We were crossing off. And so that was kind of a cool thing because we were like, wow, people are really rooting for us. So we, we kind of were able to, and when we were crossing off things we didn't think we could cross off, you know, we like opened the 6 o'clock news at a major news station, you know.
Playing basketball with Obama.
Yeah, what's that?
Playing basketball with Obama.
Yeah. I mean, that, yeah. And then it, I mean, ultimately it sort of built to that. So,
right.
We finished that 2 week tour. A producer saw us on the news. He emailed us and said, have you guys ever thought about making a TV show? And one of the things on the list was to make a TV show. We ended up getting offered a show in Canada, but we turned it down because they wanted to own the Buried Life, basically. So we just, you know, we didn't care too much to do that much to do TV. So we just decided to keep doing it ourselves. We went back to school, but we raised more money the next year and bought a bus, got a crew from LA and filmed more the next summer for 2 months, still going for the documentary. And then had this epiphany, like, we were making this to inspire our friends, right? And then we kind of had this epiphany that it was, you know, if we make this documentary, none of our friends are going to watch it. You know,
right.
Like, maybe it gets into a film festival, but it's not going to have the effect we want. Like, if we want this to be seen, like, we got to make TV.
Mm.
So we decided to make our own pilot and start coming down to LA to hustle it down here. And so that's what we did. And, you know, we made our way to the right production company that could get us there, and slowly but surely kind of clawed our way there.
So when did the first episode air on MTV of The Buried Life?
It was 2010. I think early 2010.
So 2006, you have this idea. Well, your friend has a fashion line and you're like inspired by this idea that he's creating something cool and you like it. You and three buddies get together and say, let's create something cool, like a documentary that's going to inspire friends. It turns into a TV show, and 4 years later, you're on MTV.
Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty amazing, dude.
It is when you think about it like that. I mean, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, 4 years is a long time. There's a lot of ups and downs.
Right. And you probably thought it was too long.
We also didn't start it to make a TV show.
Right. Right.
I think it's important. You know, like, we didn't design Buried Life as a pitch.
Right. It wasn't until year two when you were like, okay, let's make this a show. But you really had no experience, you know, 4 years prior to the show coming out with raising money, with being on camera. Maybe you guys had done like some goofy videos before, but not actually being on camera and all the different facets of what you need to do to produce a great show. You just kind of learned it along the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, whatever, did you guys ever come close to like creating some type of documentary type, like a 60 to 90 minute documentary, or did you guys just never even get there?
No, we haven't got there. We still want to, and it's still one of our goals, you know, and we still film everything. But I don't think the story's quite finished.
Okay.
You know?
Keep it. So, oh, you mean your story?
Yeah.
In general, because you haven't crossed everything off your list.
We haven't crossed, and there's some major things we want to cross off our list, like go to space. That we haven't done, and make a movie, you know, like a feature film,
right,
which I think would be really cool to show in the documentary. It's all we have, you know, all the footage is there.
Right.
And, so it's definitely something that we want to do.
Now, were there 100 things on the list, or were there more than 100?
There was always 100. It's not a static list. It's dynamic. I mean, we add stuff to it all the time. We take stuff off. I mean, as you grow, your priorities change. And,
sure.
You know, we see something like, oh, that'd be really cool to do. Let's try and do that. And we add something. And so we've done about, like, technically, I think we've done about 79 or 80 of the list as it stands right now. I mean, the list's on our Facebook page. We've also done a lot more that we've taken off.
Okay. You've done a lot more that you've taken off. Why don't you keep it on there if you've already done it? Why wouldn't you just leave it on there?
It's a good question. I mean, we've talked about that.
Proud of it or something? Or?
We don't want to tell anyone. No, we like having the list at 100.
Right.
There's big things on there that we still want to do that we don't want to take off to put on other things that we have already done.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I think the cap will come off 100 and we'll just have a sort of a longer sprawling list of the things that have been done.
Right.
But we just haven't really gotten there yet.
Gotcha. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life. So don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Now, but you're pretty close. You're like 80% done, which is pretty amazing, and you're only 29, is that right?
Yeah.
29. You've completed 80 of the 100 things you wanted to do before you die. You've got probably many years left on your life, but, you know, for a lot of people, they probably don't cross off, you know, 10 things on their list by the time they're 50. And it's because they have a buried life. Now, why do you think, what are some of the causes for people to have a buried life, do you think? And just never really get around to doing what they want to do?
I mean, I think there's a lot of things, and, you know, it obviously varies, from person to person. I definitely don't claim to be an expert in this sort of area, but I mean, from what I've found, just from the people that we've met and my own experience really just with doing these things is, you know, I think people are stopped by the usual suspects like money, kind of time, and that idea that you get in your head, like, I don't have time to do that. I have to work, you know, or I have to study, or that's gonna take up too much of my time. But I think a lot of the time too, it's also fear. You know, people really, they don't do it because they don't think they can, or they think they're gonna fail. When we made the list, we decided to add things to the list. We said, okay, if anything was possible, what could we do? Let's not even think about how we could actually do these things, or even if we ever could. Like, let's just pretend for a second that we can do anything.
That anything was possible, right?
Yeah, anything. Like, get on the cover of Rolling Stone. Mm. Play basketball with the President of the United States. Make our own movie. Like, just what would we want to do if we could do absolutely anything? Walk on the moon. Like, the craziest shit you can think of.
Right.
And that was a really important step for us, because that was the first time we just pretended that we could do anything. And once you go down that road, you realize that you really can. I mean, I think people limit themselves just from the get-go because they don't think they can, but they don't know their potential until they try. And once you try and you end up actually, even if you don't know how you're going to do it, even if you start the first step, once you do the first step, you can figure out what the second step is, and then the third step. Like, people see their dreams as these huge Everest goals. I mean, that's why everyone talks about, like, Everest, you know, the climb Everest.
Right.
It's not that's not what it's about. You know, it's like for us, play basketball with Obama. Huge dream. How the fuck are we going to do that? Like, I don't know. I guess I'm going to start by asking all my friends if they have any connections to the White House. Who right. has uncle who knows a guy who knows a guy who's a senator? Like, that's right. And the only way you do that is by talking about it.
Right.
And by talking about it, you put it out there and people step up to help you. So like, we don't do this stuff on our own. We do it with the help of other people. So, you know, I think that people stop, they just sell themselves short right away without even trying.
Right.
And you realize, and it's funny, like people are afraid of failure or I don't think I can do it or, but failure is always just one step in the right direction.
Yep. Now here's an interesting question for you. What do you think people are more afraid of? The fear of failure or failing at something that they want to like put their big dreams and goals out there, and having being ridiculed or people say, I told you so, or whatever it may be, or reaching their actual big goal and what that'll do, once they reach it.
I think it's the fear of failure, but not so much the fear of getting ridiculed as much. I think it's more the fear that they will lose confidence in themselves, you know, that they will begin to doubt themselves in other areas of their life.
Right.
You know, if I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do this, I'll never amount to that.
Right.
Where if they stay in the things that they know they can do, then they're successful. You know, I have a decent job. I'm pretty good at it. I get some sort of validation out of it. My boss tells me good things, you know, and it's safer, you know, but when you step out of your comfort zone, it's also scary, you know, like for instance, take the example of you're living in Alabama and you want to move to LA to be an actress. You've always wanted to be an actress. You've known since you were a kid that you had dreamed of doing that. But everyone's telling you, you can't just pick up and move to LA. You can't just do that. You don't have a job down there. You don't have a car. Everybody's trying to make it in LA. What makes you special? And you start to believe that instead of just like going from this place of, you know, like when you were a kid where none of that mattered. It just was, this is what you dreamt to do. And as you get older, people start telling you, you can't, and you start to listen to them and you start to believe that. And by actually doing it and then, you know, not succeeding, you really believe that. And that's like, even that's pretty scary. So I think that is what holds people back.
Right. I think the power of belief in yourself is a huge factor in where we go in life and our career and things like that. And I think for you guys, it sounds like to me, one of the key factors was putting it out there first. Like, here's the things on our bucket list in the news and on Facebook and wherever on your blog. And then people will actually email you and say, hey, my uncle's got a bull that you can ride on that's not going to kill you. And then you actually go ride on the bull. I don't know if you rode on it or someone else did.
Yeah, yeah.
You rode on it?
No chance. No. Dave did.
Right. But yeah. you guys go and ride on the bull, and it's like, okay, we got a small win. I mean, that's a big goal probably for, you know, 99.9% of the people in the world never ride on a bull. So that's a big thing, but it's not like playing with the president. So it's like a big step, but it's also like telling yourself that you can do these things by putting it out there. People are going to support you, and you know, you're just going to keep going forward to achieving the things you want until you cross them all off, I guess. But if you don't actually put it out there, then it's never going to happen.
Exactly. A lot of people don't put it out there because of that, you know, these huge dreams become these big things in their mind. And, but the thing is when you talk about them and like you talk about them with passion, which is usually how you talk about the things that you really want to do, that excites people, you know, people want to just, they feed off that energy and they want to get involved. You know, I mean, for us, we didn't know what we were doing in the beginning, but we just fucking talked about it a lot and told everyone. And you know, our first manager was my godmother. Our first lawyer was Dave's dad's friend. You know, like we just, people stepped up to help. And you don't never know who knows someone who knows someone, but if you keep it hidden, no one will be able to help you. And it's definitely been one of the keys to our success is like putting it, and whether that's putting it out online, you know, like we made a list on and made a website. or just talking about it wherever we went, or strategically reaching out to people. You know, I think that sharing what it is you really want to do is extremely important. And even before that is the power of writing it down.
Mm. Yes. You know,
it seems like a simple thing, but it is the first tangible step. Like, there is a difference between a thought and something that's real on paper. I mean, it seems kind of airy-fairy, but it's not. I mean, we kind of see it as the difference between a dream and a project, you know?
Right.
Dreams have a funny way of staying dreams. But if you think of your dreams as projects, it's like I said before, you can think of the tangible steps to getting them done.
Right. And
you just chip away at it, just like any other project, and it's on your list. And just like do your homework and get toilet paper is on your list, do it because it's on your list. And, you know, you find a way to get it done, and you will find a way to go to Paris with someone you love. Like, that's just
right.
If you look at it like that, you'll figure it out, and you can look at it and you can share it, and you kind of approach it the same way you do your daily tasks.
Right. I think it's interesting you say that, but writing it down makes the dream more real and makes it more attainable, because then you make it project based and you kind of reverse engineer how you have to get there. And this is something I started doing back in high school and college. I started framing my dreams and putting a date on when I wanted to have the goal or the dream accomplished. And I remember specifically, and I want to lead into the next thing, which is your sports background. But I remember specifically when I moved to New York City a couple of years ago, I said, I want to be on the USA national team for a sport called team handball in less than a year. And I never played the sport before. And I made the team within 9 months because I reverse engineered exactly what I thought I needed to do in order to get there. But it was this huge dream I had in my head of like playing for the national team and for an Olympic sport and trying to make the Olympics in 4 years. And I saw that you, and for me, framing my goals helps me because it makes me feel like it's real and I can take steps into achieving it. And I want to ask you, because I didn't know this about you. I'm checking out your Wikipedia page right now that you were actually selected on the Canadian national rugby team. Is that right?
Yes. When I was, yes, younger, 19.
Is this like the 19 and under rugby team or like the...
Yeah, the U19.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. I didn't know you were that good of an athlete. We have to play some basketball or something sometime. Now, do you think having this background with sports and being completely competitive at a high level at a young age, do you think that's helped you in going after these bigger dreams? And do you think if you didn't have that background, you'd be as confident in kind of tackling your bucket list?
That's a good question. I think parts of it served me, and I think parts of it didn't. You know, I think that kind of that determination, you know, that kind of like bull-nosed attitude, the teamwork, camaraderie, and just like the diligence and hard work that it takes to compete at a high level, all those attributes that you have to do that definitely helped me. I was also like captain, you know, of a few teams, and I think that more than anything, definitely the social. I think that sort of those skills that you learn being a captain, and it's like I kind of say the same thing in university. I think probably the most important thing you learn in university are social skills, you know, right. and different ways to get stuff done, hit deadlines and stuff like that. So I think I definitely learned a lot from that. When I was competing at a high level, like I apply myself so much to the things that I do just because that's the kind of person I am, that I would overwork myself. And I remember first year of college, it was right when the national team was getting going, you know, I was like on an academic scholarship as well. And I put so much pressure on myself that I just totally burnt out and had to drop out of school.
Right.
And you know, I didn't know about balance and I just overdid it. And so I learned a lot from that and learned about what was important to priorities in my life and what I needed to stay healthy. And so I think that it kind of goes for me, it went both ways.
Right. Now I got a couple questions left. I know you got to run to another meeting, but on a post you did on 4HourWorkWeek.com, Tim's site, You have, it's almost got 500 comments on this post, and you talk about your 6 steps to crossing anything off your bucket list or achieving your dreams. And you've talked about a few of them. You said, you know, stop thinking about it and start writing it down. And then you say, start talking yeah. about it and start sharing it with people, whether that be your friends or online or however it may be. You talk about being persistent, how you guys just went after it for, you know, 3-4 years and just kept going. You got your friends' parents to help out and did everything you could to figure things out. Now, number 5 and 6, you have be ballsy and help others. And I think that was one of the key elements in your whole journey, was always to help others achieve, you know, their bucket list. And you weren't even thinking about yours originally, but it was helping others achieve theirs. What do you think is, you know, the most important part, or is it all part of a whole 6-step system for you?
I think people that are your age and my age, they sort of, for the most part, understand this. And that's why we don't talk about it too much, because people kind of just get it, just the importance of, you know, helping out other people. And
right.
for us, what we've experienced is it sounds cliche, but the moments when we've been able to kind of dive into other people's lives and share something really meaningful with them, because that's really what a lot of this stuff is like when you have something that you really want to do and you end up doing it, it's kind of like this cool, special moment. And so when we are able to help people do that, we get to be a part of that. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's more gratifying to see other people experience that and to you be there and to meet someone that you know, at first was not a part of your life, and now you've shared this moment with them, and now you're very much a part of their life. It's just very cool and gratifying. And so that's been the most memorable portion of the project, is being able to do that with other people. And, you know, we stay in touch with all these people and seeing what they're up to these days. And the first guy we ever helped, I mentioned before, was this guy named Brent. We bought him a truck because he had this business that was about to go under, and he had pulled himself out of a homeless shelter. So we like got him a truck for $480. And, wow. You know, we're like still friends with him. So,
wow.
And then I think, yeah, the last one that we didn't touch on, I guess, and I think actually this is, if we had a secret sauce, like this would kind of be it. it's be ballsy, or just be audacious.
Mm.
Because like when I told you before, we pretended anything was possible when we made the list. Like if we wouldn't have done that, I don't think we would have been where we are today.
Right. Definitely not. Definitely not.
If we thought about playing basketball with Obama before we decided to do it, we would have been like, gosh, this is way too hard.
Right. Right.
You know? It's like that moment when you're with your friends and it's late at night and you've been drinking or something, and you come up with an idea and everyone's stoked on it and everyone's, yeah, we should totally do that. Next morning you wake up and you're like, whoa. So, but the thing about being audacious is that, and this is straight from Ferris, is that the majority of people, 99% of people, believe they can't do great things, as I said before. For whatever reason, they don't believe they can reach their big dreams because, so they aim for mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this huge group of people in the world, that are aiming for mediocrity, which means the level of competition is highest for realistic goals. So statistically, you have a better chance of achieving unrealistic goals.
Because not as many people are trying to get them.
Not as many people are going out.
Right.
So you think that it's harder to do these outrageous things, but really it's easier because no one's trying to do it. So it's like not only do you have no competition, but when you're going after it, people are like, oh, crap, that's cool.
That's
like,
ballsy.
I respect you just for trying that. That's what happened with us when we decided to make a TV show, and we were like, we're not going to make this. Like, the list item wasn't being a TV show, it was make a TV show. Like, we had to be executive producers, we had to hire our own crew, we had to choose the music, we had to do the editing. Like, we did everything, and our first TV show offer didn't represent that, you know. And write a New York Times bestseller. Like, we're not authors. Dave failed English in grade 10. Like, he sent right. a copy of our number one New York Times best-selling book to his English teacher in grade 10. And was like, hey, hope you enjoy the read. and so, You know, and the cool thing about that is you just surprise yourself with what you can accomplish.
Right.
And that's what we've found. And doing so, you know, it fuels you. You get this taste of success. You know, it's contagious. You know, once you do something or start to feel the accomplishment of doing something really, really cool, really, really great, it just makes you want to do more. And you feel like you can do anything. And that's the secret, like, that we've learned, is that you can do anything you want. And that's hilarious.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Because anyone can do anything. And like, when we think about the things that we're doing, you know, like the shows we want to make, the movies we want to make, going to space, whatever, it's like, we know that we can do anything.
Right.
We just have to decide on what it is.
I think it's inspiring, man.
And that goes for anybody. We're not special. We're not better than anyone. We're just, you know, four kids from a small island.
From Canada. Yeah. What's up with all the Canadians taking over the world, coming to Hollywood and just dominating? You and Bieber, man.
It's just me and Bieber, man.
I got a couple questions left for you. So what do you want to be remembered for then, Ben?
I guess I want to be remembered for – I kind of would love to be seen as kind of a blueprint for inspiration for others that want to create and be, you know, do big things. Mm. And I just want to – by doing – and the only way to do that is just to continue to do really, really big things. I mean, we had this – we had this idea when we started Barry Life that – What we wanted to do with the project was, it's like, you know, when you miss a really good party,
yeah,
and all your friends are talking about it,
and you're bummed.
Like, damn, like, I should have gone out. We want to create that same feeling for life. Mm. Like, if you're not living the way you want, we want to give you that feeling, like, oh shit, like, I should be doing that.
Right.
Which is why we don't ever tell people what to do, and why we. Our whole brand is the question. It's, what do you want to do before you die? It's asking people. It's not telling people. And so we just want, like, I would just, like, love to represent that throughout my life and accomplish really, really big things and be able to, like, have a New York Times bestseller, have an Emmy, you know, go after an Oscar and just continue to push the envelope because you can.
So it's not telling people what to do, but it's more you living the life that you want to live, and through that, inspiring people to live the life, their best version of themselves as well.
Yeah. And exactly. Hopefully giving them the tools to do it as well, because it's like in our book, What Do You Want to Do Before You Die? Or in the blog we wrote for Ferris, we talk about things that we've learned that have helped us sort of get to where we are.
Now, what's the biggest, what's the most inspiring moment that you've had so far, the biggest thing that you've crossed off that you actually thought would be the hardest thing to do, and then what is the one thing over everything else you want to do that you haven't done yet?
I think the biggest moment was probably being on Oprah, because we got to invite our moms, and I don't think they really took the whole thing seriously until that happened. The hardest thing was probably make a TV show, because it took us, you know, 3 or 4 years to make it happen. And in the first 2 seasons, we just put all of our blood, sweat, and tears into that thing. Like, we did not sleep for a year and a half.
Right.
Didn't have any social lives, and we just were like, wanted it to be perfect, you know? And it was a great learning experience. And so, you know, I think that was the hardest thing. Also battling with network executives and MTV and just trying to make it sort of true to our vision.
Right.
And the thing that we're working on now is make a feature length movie. So we're writing a script for a film
that, very cool.
that we want to get out there. So
very cool.
I would actually also say the thing that I didn't think we were going to do that we did was crash the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, you mean not be on the list, but actually just go and get in?
I didn't think we would ever get in. We filmed that as our first episode. MTV was like, you guys are going to have to clear a Playboy, so we're going to have to call ahead. And we said, no way. We're doing this legit. We're going to sneak in, and we're going to get permission later. And it was basically like, this was our first episode. They were putting all their faith in us. But if we couldn't do it, like, we were screwed. So Johnny and Dave had this idea of dressing like it was a Candyland theme party, like a Willy Wonka theme party. So they had an idea of dressing up like Oompa Loompas, hiding in the bottom of a giant prop cake that we would dress up like the party, delivering that prop cake to the back door of the Playboy Mansion at 5 p.m. and waiting in the cake for 6 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Peeing in bottles. Like, just
wow.
Night vision cameras, and we delivered it to the back door with like paperwork that we had made that was fake. They rolled it up the back driveway of Hugh Hefner's house. They had no idea where they were. There was like Shawshank Redemption in there, and they just waited and popped out around midnight and got into the party, and they thought they had to get, sort of do their thing and get out quick, but security thought they were working the party because they were just dressed up like Oompa Loompas, so they could do whatever they wanted.
Oh my god!
Like up on stage with Snoop Dogg, they did like they did Cannonballs into the Grotto. Everyone was screaming Oompa Oompa, and then we got out, and Playboy had no idea that we were in there.
Oh my god!
Our episode, and MTV was not. They said, "You guys don't need permission. If they sue us, it's just good press." And
oh my
one
gosh.
Lawyer TV said, "You guys need permission." And so we had to go, and Playboy said, no way. And we were totally screwed, and we were not able to air the episode until – and so we said we're like, no way we're giving up on this. This is the best thing that's ever happened to us. We are going to write a handwritten letter to Hugh Hefner with the DVD of the first episode. We sent him the letter and the DVD, and we heard back 2 weeks later, and he said, you guys can air the episode. Just know I'm not very happy with you boys.
So he gave you a slap on the wrist but said, go for it.
Yeah. Right. And getting schooled by Hugh Hefner is way better than even crashing the Playboy Mansion.
That's
so
amazing.
Anyway, it was really I remember they told me that plan. I was like, this is never going to work. You know? This is never. So anyways.
That's an amazing story. Okay. So that's great. I want to leave it with one final question. It's what I ask everyone, and that is, what is your definition of greatness?
Just being yourself, like just staying true to yourself.
Being yourself. Simple. You can leave it at that. Where can people find you online? You guys got 1.5 million Facebook fans, but where can people find you personally online to connect with you?
Just my name, @BenNempton on Twitter. That's probably the best door. Ben Nempton on Facebook.
Awesome. I appreciate it, man. This is going to be amazing. And thanks so much for coming on. And there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this inspiring episode with Ben Nempton. He's truly an awesome guy. And make sure to reach out to him online and say hello to all the Buried Life guys online as well on their Facebook page and on Twitter and theburiedlife.com. Check out their book. Very inspiring, which is going to help you hopefully write some things for your bucket list. And what I want you guys to do is head over to schoolofgreatness.com right now, because we've got all the show notes over there, a bunch of links back to Ben's site, some cool videos from The Buried Life. And also, I want you guys to leave a comment at the end of the show notes on The Buried Life show notes with 1, what is your biggest dream that you'd like to accomplish? And 2, what's the biggest challenge you're currently having in trying to accomplish that? So again, thanks, guys. And make sure to head over to schoolofgreatness.com to leave your comments and suggestions. And remember to go out there and do something great.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.